Good morning. Welcome to Christ Chapel. Welcome to Daily Sabbath. Today we're delighted to have Chaplain Grady St. Denis, Director of Church Relations, as our speaker for this day. Thank you, Chaplain Grady, for sharing your gifts with us this morning. The hymn book will be the cranberry colored ELW. We'll be singing hymn number 641. Both times it'll be verses 1 and 2 to begin with. So again, hymn number 641, verses 1 and 2. Please rise and face the processional at the baptismal font. Gracious God, Spirit of life and love, be with us in this time. As people suffer, as parents grieve, as violence rages, be with us who feel the pain of loss, who feel anger at injustice. Stand with the oppressed and change the heart of the oppressor. For we know that both are joined in their humanity, no matter how often we forget it. Help us remember the hope we had, the hope we have, and the hope we will have. Help us remember joy in the midst of sadness, success in the midst of challenge, and good things in the midst of bad. Help us to be better people, to work for better things, and to create a better world. This is our prayer. We trust it is your desire. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our text today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 28th verse. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the word of God. Amen. As we gather this Monday, nearing the middle of our term. It's about this time when our activities kind of catch up with us, when our schedules start to feel just a wee bit overwhelming. And I always really treasure this Sabbath time, but it's on days like today, on a Monday in mid-October, with everything so blustery outside, it feels that way in my soul sometimes. And we're going to have a moment of silence here as we center ourselves in a prayer before my message. But in this silence, you're hearing the spire moving. And as the outer world is going on as it is, this is a safe place for us to sit, safe place for us to gather and center ourselves. So too it is with our lives. There are many things that we are about, many things that we do. And this moment of stilling ourselves and centering ourselves and focusing ourselves again means so much. So please bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious God, we do give you thanks for this time, this moment to be still, to discipline ourselves to take this time to be in communion with you. Thank you for the gift that you give us to always be present, ready, listening, loving, holding. Thank you for this moment to be together in community. You call us not to an individual walk, but to a community, to an incarnation of you and your love together. So, gracious God, I pray that you let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, let them be pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. There's a banner that hangs on the pillar in the back of our chapel. You've probably seen it when you walk in. It's just to the right side. It says, whoever you are, wherever you are, however you are, you are welcome here. It is welcome and it is invitation. Our reading from Matthew today reminds us of the welcome and invitation that Jesus has made. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. As I said, I've come to so treasure this daily time we have each week for daily Sabbath, a precious time for meditation and prayer, this precious time for communion with God. A friend of mine, the kind of friend who knows you so well, knows what you need, gave me this book, and when I tell you the title of it, it'll say a lot about me. But this was given in love, and the author is Wayne Muller. I don't know, some of you may be familiar with Wayne's writings. Deep stuff, good stuff. But the book's title is A Life of Being, Having, and Doing Enough. There's a quote from William Butler Yeats, the Irish poet, in there that I want to share with you. We can make our minds so like still water that beings gathered about us, that they may see, it may be, their own images, and so live for a moment with a clearer, perhaps even with a fiercer life because of our quiet. This quiet, this moment to come together, isn't to just leave us here still, but it's to send us out with greater purpose and, I believe, fierceness for living our life. This is an invitation to rest, but it is an invitation also to learning. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, I'm not sure if you know what a yoke is or not, but the last time I saw a yoke was a few summers ago at Paul Bunyan Land. Raise your hand if you've ever been to Paul Bunyan Land. It's a unique Minnesota thing. in Brainerd. They have it's an experience, but they have a pioneer village that has on display some antique farm and other equipment there, and basically a yoke is a wooden rod fastened over the necks of two oxen with a plow attached to guide the oxen. The invitation from Jesus is about rest, but it is about learning as well, about a deeper reflection of ourselves and our world around us. What might we learn from considering the ways of Jesus more closely? Are there ways in which Jesus might be a useful conversation partner for us in whatever we're experiencing today? We're here at Gustavus because we've come to learn. We want to grow. And the learning, you know this, happens not only in our classrooms, but in the whole of the Gustavus experience. And I think it's true of our faith. Our faith grows not only in these moments when we sit here. It grows as much even when we live out, when we head out these doors and we live out our faith, when we put our faith into action. Sometimes I think my non-Christian friends are paying closer attention to Jesus and his teachings than I am. I've been thinking about my friends on the Rosebud Indian Reservation, my good friends Pat and Mary Badhand. I've been thinking about them today for a number of reasons, but I thought of them when I was thinking about this and the lessons they've taught me and the ways in which they've mirrored back Jesus, even as non-Christians, the way they've mirrored back Jesus for me in some very profound ways. I'd been there in the summer. It was in July. It was very hot. We had had a group of college-age folks that had gathered to be with the Badhands and do a week of service together. And one of the things that had been organized was a parade, and it was really kind of a cool thing. It was going to go through some of the core parts of Rosebud, and we were all gathered and really excited to be invited in to participate in it. It was supposed to start at 1 p.m., and it eventually got started around 5 p.m., but we had gathered at noon because we wanted to be there and be ready, and everything was all set, and we're sitting there and we're waiting. And it's hot, and it's dusty, and I'm looking at the troops, and I'm looking at myself, and I'm kind of thinking, we're starting to wither a bit here, you know? And as the time goes on, I finally talk to my friend Pat, very tactfully, very lovingly. I said, you know, I think we need to start this parade. It's getting kind of late. And he looked at me, and he said, oh, you know, Gary's horses got out. And I looked at him and I said, I don't care about Gary's horses. Let's start the parade. I didn't make the connection, you know? And I'm like, who cares? Let's just do this thing and get it over with. It was kind of what I was thinking, right? And he looked at me and he goes, and with no, like, shame or anything in the tone of his voice, just really like, do you want Gary's kids to miss the parade? No. I don't want Gary's kids to miss the parade. And suddenly, it dawned on me. He was operating from a definition of community that was much different than my own. He reminded me of the kind of community that Jesus has called me into, has called us into. Kind of way to live that doesn't want to leave anybody out. I am so grateful for Gustavus for so many reasons. But I get emotional when I think about the kind of place we have, where Christians and non-Christians can gather as we do to talk about the important things of our day from a spiritual perspective. That it's okay for us to talk about our faith. It's okay for us to disagree about things. I think that is not only healthy, but I think that is really a fertile ground for honest learning of our own faith, honest growth. For the Christian, this invitation in Matthew and the yoke that is spoken of there takes on a stronger reality, because Jesus is a lot more than just a conversation partner. He's Lord and Savior. There is, for the Christian, a faith declaration, and a relational confession that we say Jesus is not only the Lord of life, he is the Lord of my life. And there's implications for us when we do that. And like a yoke that guides, the relationship with Jesus does not leave us standing still, but really propels us into thoughtful and purposeful action. And there's a freedom. There's a freedom that we receive. I was thinking of a story of a person who had wanted to go to this great teacher. And this teacher had been really lifted up and respected in so many different ways. And this person wanted to spend quality time with this teacher, and so made this long pilgrimage to spend time with this teacher. And sitting at the foot of the teacher, they came together for a cup of tea. And as the story goes, the teacher is pouring the tea, and the cup is full and then finally overflowing, and the teacher continues to pour. And the person that traveled there says, whoa, this cup is overflowing. I think you need to stop. And the teacher kept pouring and said, you want to learn, but you are so full of yourself. You are like this cup. Until you empty yourself, how can you receive? There's a freedom when we empty ourselves, when we take ourselves out of it, when we see not ourselves, but the community, the bigger community, and the work we have together. This is not a will imposed on us. We're free to seek it, to ignore it, to reject it, and yes, even free to live in it, to live in this relationship. And like you, I think you will find that as we live in this, the yoke of this one, compared to the yoke of ourself and our selfish thoughts and ways, and or of our culture, and the way in which it consumes us and puts so many burdens on us, this yoke is much different. In this yoke, we find our true selves. It draws out of us our best selves. This is what we are called to here. And for me, that banner in the back is a reminder that the work that Jesus has called us into here at Gustavus, specifically, our vocation has an address as we live out this faith in action. It's 800 West College Avenue in our life in this community here. It's a reminder about the sort of house we're building here and the sort of love that we are called to embody. All are welcome here. You are welcome here. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.
Please rise for the blessing. Gracious God, grant all of us in this place the courage to love boldly in the face of our greatest fears. Grow in us a wisdom, and let our actions speak when the silence threatens justice and indifference disturbs peace. Bless us this day as we depart. This is our prayer. We trust it is your desire. Amen. Our final hymn is 641. We'll sing verses 3, 4, and 5. Again, that's hymn 641, verses 3, 4, and 5.